Hi everybody, welcome to the Association of Certified Sanctions Specialists video message of the month, the top 5 sanctions developments that everybody should know. My name is Saskia Rietbroek and I'm the Executive Director of ACSS. We will cover 5 notable sanctions developments that happened last month, so let the countdown begin. We'll start off with number 5. OFSI, the UK sanctions regulator, issued new guidance on monetary penalties for breaches of financial sanctions. It comes into force on April 1, 2021. And if you work in the private sector and you could end up at the wrong end of an enforcement action, listen up, because it has updated the factors it takes into account when determining how serious a case is. For example, under the new guidance, it no longer matters whether or not a case directly involved a designated person. So it doesn't matter if you made funds or economic resources available to a designated person. Also, it no longer matters if you fix the issue after finding out your misstep. The financial penalties, the maximum penalties remain the same. Up to £1 million or 50% of the value of the breach, whichever is higher, of course, but did make the definition of a most serious case broader. So all these changes, I think, can potentially lead to a broader discretion for OFSI for imposing tougher penalties for non-compliance with the new UK sanctions regime. Then on number 4, on March 25, OFAC announced sanctions against military holding companies in Myanmar. There were 2 companies that were blacklisted, and any assets they have in the US are frozen from now on. There's also a ban for US individuals and companies from doing business with these 2 companies. The UK also issued sanctions, but only against one of the companies. So which companies were designated? The US sanctioned MEHL and MEC. The UK only sanctioned MEHL. So these military holding companies are owned or controlled by the Myanmar military. Those are the ones that are responsible for the military coup earlier this year. And in fact, in Myanmar, the military controls whole segments of the country's economy through these holding firms. So it is a big deal. Especially in the natural resources sector, their influence is rampant. So it will be harder for foreign companies like oil companies to keep on doing business in these sectors. And as we covered in last month's video, in February 2021, there were also sanctions against the generals who led the military coup. This was the first concrete step the US government has taken since Biden demanded that the country's democracy is restored. Canada and the UK also issued sanctions against senior officials in Myanmar last month. And this month, on March 2022, the EU also came on board and they issued sanctions against 11 people responsible for the military coup. So as these sanctions get broader and wider and now broaden these 2 military holding companies, I think the risk to multinationals operating in Myanmar is growing. But if you think of it, you know, the US, Canada, the UK or the EU, they don't have that much trade with Myanmar. And I think the country that could really make a difference is China. They have a lot more business with Myanmar, so we have to see if perhaps through the Security Council there are any UN sanctions being imposed. I don't think so. China has a veto power in the UN, so unlikely that we see any sanctions coming out of the UN. All right, and on number 3 we have new sanctions against Russia. Early in March, the New York Times reported that the U.S. found that the FSB, one of Russia's intelligence agencies, was responsible for poisoning the opposition leader, Mr. Navalny, and announced its first sanctions against the Russian government for the attack and his arrest and imprisonment. So with sanctions, you have to follow not just Treasury. There's multiple agencies involved also in this case. So let's take a look at the three agencies here. First of all, we have BIS. This is part of the Department of Commerce. And they imposed export control restrictions against Russia in March. So what BIS did, they expanded the EAR, or the Export Administration Regulations restrictions on exports and re-exports to Russia of certain items that are controlled for national security reasons. They also put 14 Russian parties to the entity list. This is a list maintained by BIS. And the persons on this list, you have to always, it's not forbidden to do business with them, but you have to ask for a license. And now, this is also new, there is a presumption of denial for review of export license applications for these Russian parties. So good luck with that. And the second agency that you have to keep an eye on is State Department. They imposed a number of new financial sanctions and export restrictions on Russia. And while export of items subject to ITAR to Russia were already tightly controlled, they now also imposed an arms embargo on Russia. And thirdly, you're probably familiar with this one, OFAC, Treasury. They added 7 prominent Russian officials to the SDN list. And they did that actually in a coordinated action with the European Union, which imposed similar trade sanctions against Russia. So these parties are blocked. Now, what does all of this mean? If you are doing business with Russia, you should closely monitor the situations and the development in U.S. trade policy. I think in the next months, there will be more coordinated U.S. and European sanctions measures against Russia. So keep an eye on that. And then the next development is, according to Japanese media reports, Japanese lawmakers will launch a cross-party alliance to make legislation, finally, to enable sanctions over human rights abuses. They're examining the Uyghur issue in China, especially, and they're looking to issue recommendations before the next G7 summit in June. Japan, in fact, is the last member of the G7 who hasn't issued sanctions to tackle human rights effects. Washington, as you all know, Washington passed a broad version of its human rights sanctions a couple of years ago, known as the Global Magnitsky Act. And this law has been used to impose sanctions on senior officials in the Xinjiang region in China in connection with alleged human rights abuses over there. And the European Union, the UK, and Canada took similar steps. So now Japan is doing that as well. All right, and now we are at number one. On March 15, OFAC issued a settlement against Unicontrol Inc. This is a company out of Cleveland, Ohio. They manufacture air pressure switches, and they paid over $200,000 to OFAC to settle a case for apparent violations of Iran sanctions. So what did they do wrong? Unicontrol exported 21 shipments of its goods from the United States to 2 European companies. Nothing wrong so far, you would think. But they did so with the knowledge or reason to know that these products were going to end up in Iran after re-exportation by the 2 European companies. So here are a couple of compliance missteps that OFAC highlighted and listed them as aggravating factors. So something that, you know, raises the amount of fine that you have to pay. So first of all, they failed to follow up on multiple warning signs that these European trade partners were going to re-export to Iran. Second, leadership should have known this. Third, some people in the company actually did know this. And fourth, some of those people included senior leadership. OFAC also highlighted some of the issues that they should have done and are actually doing right now to fix the issue. Some of these things are listed here. End-user certifications, A, from the customer, and B, from secondary and tertiary buyers. And finally, it's wise to include a statement on your on the footer of your invoice or other trade documents to remind your customers on the restrictions on reselling. So I think this enforcement action really highlights the importance on to act on warning signs that your European or other foreign trade partners may be re-exporting your goods to a sanctioned company. This was it for this month. Thank you so very much for listening. Please visit our website and see you next month. Thank you. Bye-bye.